Hey people, hello everybody. It's what, May 25th today? Is that it? Oh, I lost
That's
my
true.
video. May 25th, you're listening to Geeks Next Door if you're one of the chosen ones. If you're not one of the chosen ones, you may not be listening to the Geeks Next Door. This might be a different podcast. We got questions, some good question. Whose question? I think it was Dave. Dave, it was your question, right?
What game, you know, be it a board game, video game, any of that kind of genre of anything, have you always wanted to play, but you've never gotten around to it, be it like the barrier to entry, it seemed too hard, or you just don't have the time?
Okay, good question, Dave. Why don't we start with Dave, too?
So, a game that I would like to play, but really haven't gotten into, the Uncharted series for PlayStation. Here, great things about it. I think I played like the first 5 minutes and then I don't know what happened. I just stopped.
Wait. You played 5 minutes and you're like, meh, that's enough.
No. I liked it. Something happened. I stopped playing and then my distraction factor was like, it was really high. I just never went back to it. So, and now Uncharted 4 came out, and I'm like, yeah, I really want to play that. And I just can't get to it. So,
I think you would like it. I mean, it's really strong single player, like good story. Like, everyone, the acting is really good. And I mean, it's just a fun game. He banters a lot while murdering like untold legions of people.
Is it kind of the same as like the Tomb Raider series, where that kind of play style?
I think so, except for there's no sexy chicks in it.
There are sexy chicks in it.
It's a video game. There are sexy chicks in it.
I'm sorry. I should say there's no sexy main character that you play.
There is a sexy main character. He just happens to be a dude. Why are you still living in the past?
Adam has obviously never played this game.
Why does Adam want to play a woman?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, it's like a third person action adventure game. Or, you know, dive and roll, climb things, solve intricate puzzles, like by standing on this thing, going grabbing stuff, pushing it on there, Zelda-like in some fashions, but like gunplay and.
And I like treasure.
Right.
So in every game, I like to hoard treasure.
That's
so
true.
There we go.
Exactly like Tomb Raider then.
It kind of seems like Tomb Raider, but I do remember that it seemed like this game was one of the first ones to. Well, at least it did did a really good job of integrating video that looked like movie into the game.
Yeah.
So it looked more like a movie at parts than it did a game.
And no loading screens, which is huge. So it has like a big load, like a larger load at the beginning, and then once that's all loaded in, like you can, it is that linear, but within like a larger open path kind of thing, where it makes it feel like you're running around a big jungle, but you're actually going down a hallway almost.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it's not like open world.
Right. No. It's not open world, but it seems like it's open world.
It's more like kind of missions.
Yes, it is linear, where it's like, okay, get from point A to point B. Here's a big jungle and there's lots of trees and whatnot. But there's always like, oh, here's a cliff. So now we've made a natural border to this side of the world. And then over here is something else that have made a natural border to that side of the world. So you're kind of funneled, but you feel like you have a lot of open. You know, and it's just fun. Like, the writing is really fun. And, like, the guy is very Indiana Jones-like, which is...
Yeah.
You know, dun, 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 dun,
dun. Okay. Right. All right. All right, that's a good one. Who's after D? That's R. Ryan.
I was thinking, I just popped into my head that I'm kind of... Every time I watch the Winter Olympics, I go like, man, you know, it'd be pretty fun.
Don't say curling.
Curling.
Oh my god!
You know, like
bobsled.
There's something about, you know, it seems like a pretty skill based game, but kind of lots of fun. It seems like it'd be a low barrier entry. Like you could probably just give it a shot and have some fun. But the problem is, you kind of have to go to a special curling court, or I don't know if they call it a court, or they have some special curling term for the field of play in curling. I don't know.
Minnesota does have a lot of curling leagues. You could very easily get into that.
That's kind of cool. Maybe we should do that. We should get a curling league going. What if we could? If we had a chance to make the Olympics,
I'll be the skipper.
That would be our best chance to make an Olympics as a group.
So. I think like
tell me something we could do better in the Olympics.
Bowling.
I think I'd be pretty good at that one where you shoot and then you run and then you shoot and run. I'd be pretty good at that.
You ski though.
But basketball? I would run. I'd run really fast.
You can't run. I bet you'd like they'd say like, "No, sir, you have to ski." And you're like, "How about no? How about running instead?"
I'm just saying it's our best shot at making the Olympics, which I'm like, pretty sure is very everyone's in everyone's bucket list to be Olympic gold medalist in curling.
I think Adam would be really good at fencing. He'd be like, ha, 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 look at me.
Why has he distracted you with his backhand? Oh, my God, I never saw it coming.
Come on now.
It's a curling sheet.
The curling, you know how you, as you roll it, you kind of spin it too, and it kind of curves a little bit.
What the sheet are you talking about?
So, but when, when they're sweeping, they're creating friction, correct? Or no?
Yes, they're heating up the ground so that it melts and then freezes to make it go faster.
Okay. So
or
you,
slower.
Or no, slower. What is it? Is it slower or faster? There's obviously
I think it makes it go faster.
Faster.
Okay. So when you're creating friction that melts the ice, that makes it go faster.
Right.
It's the same thing as a hockey skate, in theory. No, think about it, because a hockey skate creates a layer of water between the ice and the metal blade. And
blades of steel.
Exactly, blades of steel. And when they essentially make a little pool of water by heating it up, and the rock slides on top of that, right?
I'm not an expert. As far as I know, it goes faster. I mean, I can Google it.
I just don't understand your skate analogy. It seems seems weird. That's all I'm getting at.
All right.
Off.
Okay.
But I think it'd be fun, and we should all get together and try to do that sometime.
All right. We'll go do curling after we do cannoning, because cannoning
I would rather cannon than curl. Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything. Very few things like sports that I would rather not do than curling.
I'm surprised.
Really?
Yeah, like
you're on skates. I hate skates.
They're not skates.
It's regular.
No, they're on shoes.
No. The people who are doing the sweeping, they're on skates.
No, they're on shoes.
Are you sure?
Yeah, like they have like the
look
heel
up
is,
curling image.
The heel of the shoe I think is slick. And the front of the shoe is like got a grip on it, or it's vice versa.
You're right. Okay. The other thing I don't like about it is that you don't move a lot, and I don't like sports where you just kind of stand there.
You actually do like games where you just don't move, because I know you do a lot of those games.
I think it's a set, Ryan.
It's a set. The court or the.
It's called the sheet.
The
playing field is called
a sheet.
The curling sheet. I'll meet you at the curling sheet.
Yeah.
And then you know that person's probably not very cool because I'm meeting you at the curling sheet.
I'm pretty sure you know one person who has played or done curling, and that would be Mitt Long. He's actually.
Did he do it?
I don't know how.
He's pretty good. Mitt Long is really good at games like that. Any kind of
like backgammon. Oh wait,
The weirder it is, the better he'll probably be at it. But he's good at pretty much all like interesting, quirky games.
Like badminton.
Isn't that just volleyball with a stick?
Yeah.
My respect for Ribs has dropped slightly now that I know he's done curling.
Nope. It's gone up.
It's increased for me, yep.
Right. It's gone up higher.
Never mind.
What about you, Adam?
Next.
What are you doing?
This is a hard one for me.
It's a hard one.
No, I was... There's a lot of games that I haven't played. One that sticks out is probably, like, any of the Legend of Zelda. Any of them? I don't think I've ever really played any of that gaming series. And it wouldn't be too bad to actually go through and do it. It'd be a lot of games.
You never played the first one?
Yeah, I didn't.
What? How is that possible? It was like the only game that Nintendo had for a while.
Yeah, that for some reason we got stupid games like Spy Hunter or...
Hey, Spy Hunter is cool. We talked about that game.
Okay. So just Legend of Zelda?
Well, any of them. Like any of the series.
Weird. Now, I never really played them either, Adam. I never had a Nintendo. I played it at other people's houses, so I don't know if that counts. I've tried it, you know.
But you haven't put the time into it that you need to learn the game, or to actually do the game, right?
Well, I haven't. You know, I mean, I've just played random stuff on it when it's like someone's house.
Maybe a handful of hours in it, and that at most. I haven't played it that much.
That's weird. I'm going to say that's weird. I mean, maybe it's not, but I don't know, man. There was like 3 big games that came out back then. It was like Super Mario Brothers, Zelda, and like that one. I can't think of.
But not everybody had a Nintendo.
No. Everybody had a Nintendo.
Who didn't have a Nintendo?
I know nobody. But you were too busy buying curling rocks or something. I don't know what you were doing.
No. He was playing on his Acer, whatever. What did you have?
He was playing Commodore 64 at one point. But I think that was post-Nintendo.
Nintendo was 85.
It's hard to remember, actually.
That's just weird. I mean, Commodore 60... No, I mean, not having a Nintendo is kind of like not having a computer today. Back then.
Yeah, my first gaming system was the Super Nintendo.
Oh, you just started with that because you're like, I'm super. I don't need to start with basic.
They had a Legend of Zelda on there.
That's true.
Yep. So
they also had a bunch of games. I think I played... I don't remember.
Chessmaster.
Oh, Super Mario World, yeah.
They did have a port of Chessmaster to Super Nintendo.
So, Ryan, riddle me this. You didn't get to blow on any games then?
Well, I did it at other people's houses. I mean, that was a common occurrence.
Button bar.
Because everybody else had a Nintendo.
Exactly. That's my point. Huh. Okay. So what was your response there, Adam? Zelda games. Wow, that's weird to me.
And there's how many of them? There's a ton of them, right? Like,
yeah.
I bet you could toss out a bunch of them, though, as not very good.
I thought there's only
a bunch of remakes in there.
No, well, there's like the ones that are on like the handheld platforms and
stuff
like that.
Those don't count. Come on.
Well, if you're going to count them, they count.
But I didn't count them.
Well, because you didn't think of them.
The only ones I stopped kind of playing Zelda games after Link to the Past. No, that wasn't it. The first one, which was Zelda, the event, and the second one, which I kind of liked, it was interesting. Remember what the second one was called? It was something to do with The Adventure of Link.
The Adventure of Link, yeah.
After that, I never really played a lot of them. I played a little bit of the first one on the Super Nintendo, but like Amy played that shit a lot more than me.
Yeah, so Legend of Zelda, Adventure of Link, Link to the Past, Link's Awakening, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Oracle of Seasons. Yeah, so there's a decent amount. It's a
fair number of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have, let's see here. I have about 41 games on my Steam list that haven't been installed yet. So I'm assuming I purchased these with the intention to play them and never got around to playing them. But we won't go with those. I'm going to go with that one game, which I played for about the 30-day free trial. And yes, I can't think of it, the name of it, but you guys will think of it in a second.
Eve,
yeah!
So
Eve. I played Eve, and by all accounts, Eve is the kind of game I would love and I would lose years to. But yeah, I never really got into it for some reason or another. But that, I mean, I like reading the stories of the fucking giant wars they have and shit like that, and how epic it is. And they lost roughly $130,000 worth of US dollars based on these ships in this fight. Eve is fun. I liked it for 30 days, but it seemed like I was just mining everything. I was like, I can mine in Minecraft for free.
Yeah.
Did anyone else play Eve?
No. Like, Eve just seems cool, but it's like space spreadsheets.
Right, which is something I would like.
Right, and it's like, that's why I'm like, do I want to play this game? No. It's like the complete opposite of everything that I, like, don't want in a game. I want it. It's not like it has to be complicated.
High adventure, low strategy? No,
strategy is not. I have no problem with strategy.
I like numbers doing things. That's fun for me.
Yeah, but I like numbers behind the scenes doing things.
They gotta be up front. You gotta be able to manipulate the raw numbers, otherwise.
No, like put a UI in front of this.
You should try this new game. It's called Calculator. Type it on your start bar. It's pretty awesome. You just put numbers in and manipulate them directly. It's amazing.
That's not very funny. You're dumb.
The advanced course is called Excel.
Excel. Oh, shit. You don't even put numbers in order. You put them in fucking weird, ridiculous order, and it gets to get formulas.
Something about columns and rows?
Yeah, for me, I have always thought it would be really awesome to play Warhammer 40K.
Ooh, that's good.
Like, with all the cool-ass figures that look badass, but then you go and look at them, and you're like, oh, this is $80? Yeah, I don't want to play you because you're $80 for this one piece.
Oh, you're talking about the tabletop game.
Tabletop, yeah.
Because I do have a Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2 in my Steam account that I've never installed.
Oh, like, I played those. Those are super fun. Those are RTSs, and those are super fun. But I like the whole idea of, like ridiculous future. Like, giant, super psychic, immortal emperors sending, 12 to 20-foot tall ultramarines facing off against demons and psychic elves and crazy orcs and fighting on, like, a tabletop. And you're like, okay, this guy has a range of, like, 12 inches. So you move your guy up here, and you measure out with a ruler, and he shoots this and does this. And it always seems super cool, but, like, the barrier to entry was ridiculously high. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to pay a bunch of money to play a game that, and then all of a sudden be like, nah, I don't want to play this, and I have all this stuff sitting here in a pile. Not doing anything.
Yeah, like, so these starter sets are $140. Right. What I'm looking online.
Like, outrageous. Remember when we went to Games Workshop in Germany, and you went in there and you saw these massive, awesome figures, and like all this stuff was like, oh, they built this giant citadel and it's 20x20, and someone built this and it was amazing, and it would be fun to play on, but no.
Yeah, I played the not 40K one, so, the fantasy one where they had elves and they had fucking other guys. That's why you'll see a bunch of those figures every now and then. I only played it like twice, and yeah, it was super expensive, but I was in the Marines and had a shitload of disposable income, so yeah, it would have been more fun to play it more. I think that's kind of like the marching armies across a map thing, but more in depth. So
yeah, exactly. See, Adam, high strategy.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I begged my dad when I was like probably 10 or 12 years old to like buy me a magazine.
21 or 22.
Yeah, exactly. So I could, that was like my intro to like RPGs or tabletop game, like D&D based games or stuff like that. Because I begged him for a magazine and I'm like, this is cool. I want to get into this. And
what was the magazine? It was
like Hustler, or what was it? Come on, Dad.
It was, I think they used to have a Warhammer 40K or something magazine about how they did the figures or built the figures or painted them or whatnot. Pretty much it was crap, but I'm like, I want to get into this. Buy this for me. And it was interesting because that was kind of my stepping stone into like better gaming, but
just different gaming.
Different gaming, I should say.
Because D&D, it's relative. Like, if you got a book and you buy some dice and some pencils and some paper, it's pretty relatively low barrier entry. That you're
only out $30.
You don't even need the book. You can just download the PDF these days. And
right. Well, I'm saying back in the day, it was back like in the day. Books were like $15, and then
yeah, now they're like $50. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, you got
to convince
one guy
friends to play though too. That's probably the bigger barrier.
Yeah, finding a group.
Right.
I've met many people who's like, I've always wanted to play that, but I never know anybody who plays, or I can't find anybody to play with me. So that is that's the big barrier, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're pretty lucky that Ryan is around to lead us to victory, since he's the greatest delegator / leader that has ever been.
Okay. I disagree with that. Zelda? Somebody, one of us never played Zelda. Warhammer 40K, curling, I was Eve, and you're Dave. You're Lara Croft, kind of. What was it, the Lara Croft game?
The Uncharted series.
Uncharted series, yeah. Bunch of games. We could probably fit them in on one of these Tuesdays, but who knows. Let's get going. This is when we turn up the party. All night feels good. We get excited. This is when we turn up the party. All night feels good. We get excited. Okay, so what are we talking about tonight? What's in the news? What's happening? What's happy? What's going on?
You want to start with the Flash finale? Everyone who's watched it?
Did everyone watch it?
I haven't watched it yet, but
damn it, Adam.
You didn't go. It doesn't bother me. I still want to know, and you can still talk to me about it, because I'm not like Ryan, where I need to not be spoiled about the next coming season of Game of Thrones.
Well, some things you don't want spoiled. I mean, come on. I don't want to know the plot to the next Star Wars movie ahead of time. I'd rather watch it and be amazed. So.
Oh, well, I already know the plot to the next Star Wars movie. So.
Of course you do.
Right.
At some point tonight, I'd like to get a sort of a background on the new X-Men movie. You know, like a primer.
Man, wait your turn. Of course we're talking Flash. Good Lord.
Right. No. We were talking about what we were going to talk about.
I'm just playing. And I was Flash.
Right. Okay. Hold the door, Ryan. Hold the door.
Hold the door.
Okay. Hey, so Flash, let's talk about it. I remember the very end, and I wasn't too impressed, but sorry.
Okay, here's my question. Did Wally West get his powers?
No.
Oh, damn it.
You can ask about Jesse.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, she's like a minor character to me.
Hey, you haven't asked yet. You have to ask.
Oh, did Jesse get her powers?
No.
She went home.
Okay. Boom. Barry's dad. Stabbed through the chest by Zoom.
Yeah,
that was the end of last episode. Right? I'm saying, like, but it started out exactly with that. Yep.
Okay. No, I'm thinking of something else. Okay, yeah, this would be fun to talk about. Okay, right. Ryan, you're going to love this. Yeah, stabbed through the back. Oh, no, my dad's dead. I'm very sad. Right. He broods a lot.
But... Yeah, he's super sad. I mean, so that was a huge thing, because he's basically, Zoom is trying to make Barry into him.
So sad.
By, take everything like, you love away from you.
Yep, exactly. So that was pretty huge.
Yeah, so the whole thing is that he wants him to race him, right?
Yes.
I was kind of disappointed by that whole, that's my motivation, until I realized this guy's an insane killer. An insane killer might be so motivated by the fact that he wants to be the fastest that he wants to race the fucker. And that's just a side effect of what he's actually doing.
Right, so. Right. Because the whole racing is to make it so, like, their power, like, he powers up this pulsar device that like can reverberate through all the multiverse and destroy all the planets except for our Earth. Our Earth is like the center of like the multiverse. In this,
we are the chosen ones. We sit in the center of the multiverse.
Right. Yes. So that is like his
yes. Yes.
Of course it is. So that is his big overall goal is to destroy all this stuff, which is, you know. Which is classic supervillain things, is like, it's like, if I can't have it, I'm going to destroy everything.
But it seems like he could. He can create breaches between worlds. It seems like he could just go between world and world and subjugating him, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it sounded like being insane. He's like, hey, I've got this. I could do this on one big, big explosion, take out everything at once instead of taking my time. I'm insane. I'm going to do this.
Right.
It's a, you know, it's a bigger Flash.
Insane.
I didn't love it, but I mean, it was fine for motivation. I didn't love it.
Conquered
Earth 2, basically, right? He's like, I'm in charge of Earth 2. Suck it.
Yes. I mean, overall, it was not as a good motivation for, like, Harrison Wells, Eobard Thawne in, like, the first season. I thought he had a better thing. He just wanted to get home.
Me too. Yes.
Like, so he was basically pushing everything to make Flash get better and faster and stronger because he wanted to use him to get home.
Yeah, and this one, he's like, oh, he's a serial killer. He just likes to kill people.
Right.
Sure, but I don't know. It's fine. I'm not going to quibble over it. It's a comic book show. It's fine.
Right.
I felt this finale spent more time setting up season 3 than really finalizing season two.
Right.
Okay, so they race, right? Barry right. creates a time remnant of himself.
Yep. Time remnant.
Who yep. can go do other? Who basically sacrifices himself and burns up, and that was kind of badass.
Right.
Because like, everybody goal, knows.
And the goal too was to capture is to capture the attention of the time race.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Who come and take care of what's his name?
Zoom. Yes. Zoom.
Yeah. Now that so, that's interesting there because I'm thinking, do we have a Black Flash now on our hands, taking Zoom and turning him into the Black Flash, which is in essence the Speed Force Reaper of Death.
Right.
So
right, we have Wally. He's black. What's up? And he can be a Black Flash. I'm confused. No.
So yeah, right.
not the same thing.
Why not?
That's it.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yes. So they have written themselves a way to like get rid of any time. Like, oh, cool. We're fast enough to make time to go back in time and they've written themselves a way to go. Oh, the universe wants to destroy anything that breaks the temporal line. So they make bad. They make Dementors, basically from Harry Potter. Those things look exactly like the Dementors from Harry Potter.
Yeah,
I like them though. I like the concept of that. It's basically a police force for time travel. That's why you can't fucking go through time that much because the police force will arrest you and take you off to the nether regions, wherever the fuck they're taking you.
Right.
Jay Garrick is there. He's back.
Right. Which was reveal. Yes. I mean, they did foreshadow a lot of a good amount of time when like when he was talking about Jay Garrick to his dad when you know I don't know like three or four episodes ago and he's like, hey Garrick, that's my mother's maiden name.
Right. And Jay Garrick is Flash from Earth 3.
Three. Yes.
Yep.
So he's the guy that they put in the mask. Glass cage.
He's the
with
man
the
in the
mask.
Iron mask.
Yes. So the man in the iron mask. Is effectively
Jay Garrick.
Jay Garrick, but he looks exactly like Henry Allen.
Barry's dad. So he's like, oh my god, I just lost my
Barry,
dad.
Yeah, Barry loses it.
I gotta go cry some more.
Right.
Okay, so that's kind of fucked up.
A lot of it's fucked up, but it's what? Like, again, it's fine. Yeah, you know, it's
comical. It would be imagine instead of like, you know, whatever. Well, Barry's grandma, right, getting married to whatever Allen, and then having a son named Henry Allen. You know, she got knocked up, not married. You know, and her son was named Jay, so he kept his mom's maiden name because she never got married. He got Flash powers.
Or on Earth 3, they take the women's last name. You never know.
Something, yeah, there could be all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So
that is cool. Just one more thing. It's like that guy. Played the Flash in like 90s, like there was a Flash television show in 90, like 91, 92, and it was cool to see a guy like who
that
played
was the
Flash.
Same guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
in the Russian
Henry's
in
dad,
the Russian,
25
in the Russian
years later. Suit. Yeah, 25 years later. But it was cool that you know he played his dad, and he got to for the first time in like 25 years, he put on you know
the red Flash suit,
right, which was pretty cool.
In that season or in that show, was he Jay Garrick or was he Barry Allen?
Barry
I don't recall.
Barry.
Okay. And the big ending. Drum roll.
He goes back in time one more time to stop Ebon Thawn /reverse/ from killing his mom.
So again. Season. Well, he never remember well, before this... he had the ability to go back in time, but he realized if he did, that would kind of unmake him. Because
so he went back and he watched it, but he didn't stop it.
Right.
This time he actually stops it.
Goes back, he watches it, he sees the Flash from the time he went back to watch it fucking vanish.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or be unmade or whatever. Cause, right. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know where they're going with that.
And that's why I don't understand how they're going to be able to... I mean, they... Because that's going to have repercussions of, you know, if it was written well, which, you know, hopefully it is, it's going to have repercussions across all of the television series, the Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl, which is now a CW show.
Oh, but yeah, I suppose it does, doesn't it?
Weren't you saying that the Supergirl series is technically in a different time period?
It's in a different
universe.
A different universe.
Same universe, different Earth. So she could be on like Earth 38 or something. And yeah. when he jumped through, he jumped to Earth 38, and she's like, I'm faster than you, because I'm super.
Right. So I'm not exactly sure how they're going to retcon that, because why would you not want to cross over all your shows?
But she has...
Well, they already announced that they are doing the crossover right, next year amongst all four shows.
Which
so.
Will be fun. It'll be fucking awesome and fun. So are we to assume that like Superman and Supergirl and stuff don't have doppelgangers in Earth 1?
I'm going to say they do, but Krypton was never destroyed. So
they're still out on Krypton.
Krypton, yeah. That's how I'm going to retcon that and make sure that they don't have to cross.
Okay.
It makes sense.
Right. Yeah,
okay. Keeping up, Ryan, what do you think?
I don't know what's going on.
Like, how do you not have time to watch all these shows, Ryan? Like, I've seen your workload.
We've established he has 22 hours a day, which is two less than us, but I'm curious if you're keeping up with the Flash show like we are.
Hold the door, Dave. Hold the door.
Okay, that's enough. Jesus Christ, it's hit over our heads already, don't we?
I just got to say this. Somebody put a picture of Hodor in our elevator next to the button.
Oh, man, that is a spoiler, dude.
Yeah, guys, come on, man. Why do you hate Ryan so much?
I saw a picture, and I knew it was related to Game of Thrones, so I quickly didn't look at it carefully. Like, I used the power of my mind.
Yeah, I tried, but people just hate you, apparently. So
I appreciate that, Chris.
Man, my bad. I tried several times.
I told Joy about this, and she said, we should give Ryan a time period. If he's not through the end of the year, if he's not through it, all bets are off, and we can spoil whatever
want. Wow, Joy is like mean to Ryan. Why does she hate Ryan
Joy
so much?
Joy didn't spoil anything like you fuckers, so come on.
I didn't spoil anything.
You are involved being the fact you and the other two said hold door 17,000 times in the last 2 days.
I said hold the door.
Yes, exactly. It and is then like, right after that you nice... said hold door.
That I didn't say that.
You are as much responsible as any of the other two bastards. I hold you in contempt. I hold this whole court in contempt.
You know what? I'm sorry, Ryan, for
holding the door.
These people, both of these two assholes who are like unable to just like be like nonchalant
it's
about
subtleness.
It, but they
have. There's no subtleness.
There's no subtleness.
Let me hit you over the head with this fucking door real quick.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing is, Ryan still probably has no idea what we're talking about.
Of course.
Well,
I've gathered
a few things.
He said, hold the door, followed by Hodor. He knows exactly what you're talking about.
Also, Ryan, have you made it to the Red Wedding yet?
I read that in the book. I think I might have watched it one time a long time ago.
I think it's pronounced White Wedding, and it's, right, what's his it's name? Billy Idol has White Weddings. Get out of the way, Billy. Okay, so. Cool. Flash. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I think it was a good season. I don't know. I think the first season had more compelling villain, but I still think it was a good season.
I think, yes. Yeah. I think overall it was really good. I mean, it did suffer a little bit from, you know, I wouldn't call it a sophomore slump, but I mean, it did slight. It's like when you're making that sweet ass mixtape, you come in super strong and then you cool it down a little bit. So now
talking about it, it's all rock all the time.
I'm sorry. I'm not loving that Iris is like, oh, I see you in a different light now. Let's go boner.
But did you see that they actually like said, he's like, I waited for you a really long, you waited for me a really long time. I'll wait for you. So they don't have to get together. Now they're like, Chris Banks is not feeling this shit. Let's give it a whole nother year.
See that now that they've both admitted their feelings, it's like it's all over. I mean, it's just a matter of time. Let's moonlight the shit out of this fucking thing.
But once again, just like in season one, he's kind of reset the timeline. And
yeah, that's a good point. Everything that we've seen,
are they really going to know each other? They're not going to. Are they really going to grow up together?
That's a good point.
He'll probably still have the feelings, but she's not.
Well,
that's what I'm banking on.
And so in that universe, her dad would have continued to grow up, or Barry's dad, as a partner to Iris's dad. So they would have known each other.
Right.
Right? Because they were partners, weren't they?
Friends.
Oh, he's a doctor.
I thought they were partners.
He's a doctor.
A friend.
They were
doctor.
Neighbors. They were just neighbors, though.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, whatever.
All right. Can you answer this then? Isn't technically Wally West, isn't that Jay, or isn't that Barry and Iris's kid? Technically?
It depends on which version of it.
Yeah. Universe. Okay.
There's like so, three or four.
So this is a good segue into what you were talking about, Dave, too, where you sent, you talking about that article where they're, the comics are going a different direction with Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that, because this will factor into the fact that there's a million stories for these characters.
Well, yeah, and we can even talk about the DC Universe. Today they launched Rebirth, which, you know, is bringing Wally West back. You know, Wally West comes back in the Rebirth this year.
What's Rebirth?
Rebirth is DC going, man, we really effed up the New 52. So we're going to stop that, and we're just going to kind of bring back all the love. We're going to bring back all those characters that we kind of got rid of. We're going to bring those back into the fold. It's a Geoff Johns spearheading thing. He's just like, yeah, you guys really messed this up. So now that I'm in charge, we're going to do this all over and do it right.
Okay, so the New 52, was that last year or the year before? Were they
couple
just
years ago.
Okay, yes. And they just – that was – we decided just to give people a starting point for all our characters. Is that kind of what that was?
Yep, they cleaned the slate and started all over.
Okay, so that's what the
new origins,
was.
New everything.
And people didn't care for that, or
it was disconnect.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you kind of just got rid of everything that we knew about the DC universe and started over. You still had the major players. You didn't really change the stories too much on them, but you got rid of a lot of, you know.
Secondary
characters. Yeah, that's good. You know, like Wally West doesn't exist in the New 52. It's
Jay
Barry.
Garrett, no.
That's
probably
it.
Not.
Nope.
Jay Garrett does, because there's Earth 2 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If I was going to say, it would be how Adam feels when they Marvel or when Disney bought
Star Wars,
and then all that extra canon got thrown to the side and was all like, hey, they're still around. You can still enjoy it, but it does.
But,
it's not canon anymore.
Sure.
And how Adam is all like, no, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
It is true.
So
and
I
how it made Adam all weird.
I understand that from the only comics I read is the ones Dave gives me. So I understand that, because you know you usually give me things like Preacher and stuff like that have an arc that's finished.
Yep.
So I understand if I was like, hey, I feel like getting into the Flash, and where do I start? Oh, New 52. Start. Go. So I understand where they were going with that. Are you just telling me that it wasn't great response by readers, or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people couldn't invest in the characters.
Okay.
Because
there I can
just
see that.
Wasn't that there.
So, and so talk about what Rebirth is now.
So Rebirth is DC kind of recognizing that they kind of lost their readers. They weren't connected. They weren't invested. They were getting a lot of feedback. And so Geoff Johns kind of approached everybody on it and said, what can we do? And him and Lee, they just kind of decided to, well, let's, you know, it's not a reboot. It's just, we're going to start bringing back some of those minor characters. Today they published an 80 page Rebirth episode one, and it's all about bringing these characters back. So Wally West has been gone for 10 years, trapped in the Speed Force. And he's been trying to get back, and now he does. So it's all about trying to remake those connections, and that's what they're hoping to do.
Right. I almost see it as like they're kind of going like, oh, yeah, that New 52, that happened. All that stuff happened, but it was kind of like a 10-year maxi series of stuff that happened.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden they're like going like, hey, oh, by the way, that was, you know, the real DC universe. That's coming back. Isn't everyone happy?
So, wait, they're saying that the old stuff is going to be canon again, kind of?
Yes.
Yes. The old stuff is going to be canon again. The new stuff is going to also be canon.
Sure.
It's just it was a different thing because a bunch of characters were gone because of this. They actually call. I think they call it like a darkness that has infected the DC from before Flashpoint. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
the effects of Flashpoint is what created the New 52, and that veil has now been lifted.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And really, based on what I'm getting, is it's all kind of tied to Wally West.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. You know what would be fun? I'll tell you what would be fun. I think, like I said, I don't read a lot of comic books. I think that Dave's, one of you, or both of you, whatever, should come up with a comic that, or a series, or a hardback, whatever, a tradeback, that you think people should read if they don't read comics. And then I think we should read it, and then we should talk about it. I think that would be a good idea, because Ryan, I know, doesn't really read comics. Adam, I don't think really does that much. And like I said, I only what you give me. So it'd have to be something that, I don't know, something that's out there. Like there's definitely ones that are known to be amazing. Like Watchmen is known to be one of the good ones. Dark Knight Returns or something is known
to be. Frank Miller's Batman.
Yeah, you gave me Preacher. That was known to be a known quantity. So is there something like that that we could actually all read and then talk about later on?
I heard Aquaman's pretty good.
There are shining lights in Aquaman, but overall Aquaman is not as amazing as... and the thing is, it can't be huge, because like there are stuff where it's like, oh cool, this is only like 9 trades. That's pretty big for, you know, to get into. Like usually smaller stuff would be easy. Like smaller stuff that's like, oh, this is a 5 issue arc that's really awesome.
Well, what do they call it when they take the issues and they compile them into one big book thing?
Trade paperbacks.
Okay, so that's what I like, because it's all there. It's kind of like chapters in a book. You can read them, and then it's done. It's a story that's done.
I find that frustrating, because there's a lot of ins and outs and small details that I'm not reading. You're running from, like, say, episode or comic book number 6 to 15 to 12 to 18. It jumps around on me.
Right, and that's why that I kind think of frustrates you would like, me. That's why I think you would like graphic novels. Graphic novels are a completed story that is usually, you know,
that's 150, what I'm referring to.
Yep. 150 to 200 pages of like a complete story. Boom. You read this thing, you're going to enjoy the whole, you might enjoy the whole thing, but it's effectively a book.
Okay. So what you've given me in the past are all graphic novels. They're books that are put together and I read them.
Yes.
Complete stories.
Yeah. Trade paperbacks are the ones where it's like, oh, this collects issue 1 through 8. And that's usually a story arc. And then you wait another 7-8 months until the next 8 issues are also combined into one, and now it's issue 9 through 16, and that's how like I collect stuff now, because I just don't have time to go to the store like every month.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think we should do this, and I think we should invite our readers who don't normally read comics or graphic novels to also do this and kind of follow along. It'd be pretty fun. And you can think of something during our talk today. What was we going to move into? We should probably move into. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, so we were talking about comic books. Yeah.
That's right. That's what we got into.
So, leading up about a year and a half ago, Steve Rogers, our wonderful Captain America, and again, we're talking about the comics universe, not the movie universe.
Right.
He lost his super serum. Like, he got drained of it and he came really old, and Falcon became the new Captain America. So they decided that Captain America needs to come back. Steve Rogers needs to come back. And so they started a new series today, Captain America, Steve Rogers. He gets his super serum back. He's all young. He's all buff. He's all together. So now we have 2 Captain Americas. We have the original, and we have Falcon. And this new Captain America, he's got a new shield that's really cool and all this and that. But they have a new writer. He's not a very... he's not very well liked, and the big bomb that he laid in episode in book number 1 today is that Captain America Steve Rogers is actually a Hydra agent. That he was recruited. He was recruited as a very young boy, and has been leading the double life and as a secret, well put in deep agent for Hydra the whole time. And the very last page of the book is him going, "Hail Hydra." I'm not a fan of it. That's not the Captain America that I know and stand for. I don't know if the original creator of Captain America would be appreciated of this. I mean, the very first episode, the very first book is, the cover page is Captain America punching Hitler.
Fighting the Nazis.
It just goes against everything I want to know about my Captain America. So not happy about it. Dislike it very, very much. But again, this goes to the whole point of, you know, there are so many different stories in the comic universe. I just hope this is not where they're going with the character, that somehow it's different. I read another article that was talking about it, and they're like, well, this is really all about the political intrigue. You know, you look at this election year and, you know, we have all these vast extremes and all, you know, where Captain America's always been very political. And I'm just like, so he goes, Hail Hydra? That doesn't make any sense to me. So yeah, I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts about that?
Well, I don't care because my Captain America is in the cinematic universe. It's interesting. My cousin was actually just talking about fan fiction that he was reading, or and it was in the news apparently about him and Tony Stark being lovers, and oh. People were going crazy. They're like, they're not gay. They're not lovers. And he's like, well, I mean, in a different universe, they might be. It's a million different universes. Maybe it's not your Captain America, but they definitely could be. So, and who fucking cares?
The caring part, I can see people identify with a certain way. Like, you know, I'm a fan of this, so I identify this as something that feels right to me. So, I don't like the fact where you shoehorn into someone as like there's plenty of you know, homosexual characters in the Marvel universe. There's lots, actually. It's surprising, like, that they say a character's gay, but they don't dwell on it, which
really?
I, you know.
Really? Yeah. Name 70,000 of them.
Well, I don't know if there's 70,000 characters.
You said there was a lot.
But, I mean, there's a good amount of characters.
I know what you mean, sure.
So, but going back and shoehorn and being like, oh, by the way, this character that's been around, it's like who's had tons of love interests that are women, all of a sudden, like, if it organically came out, like, you know, that he was gay, that's totally cool. That's fine. But to just all of a sudden flip on a switch and be like, chook, switches sure. on, well, and you're just like, I'm making out with dudes now.
I think what it was it's a lot – it reminded me a lot of the Supernatural fan fiction where the brothers, Dean and Sam Winchester, are getting right. it on. He's like, you do know they're brothers, don't you? And so people can make fan fiction whatever the fuck they want. Right. And if somebody wants to do that, they can go right ahead. It's just not canon. So
yes. Yeah. The Nazi thing, this first issue, I can see how it was designed from the get-go to be exactly what Dave is having issues with. Like, holy shit, this is not my guy. I'm pissed off. I need to buy episode 2 or issue 2.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
Right.
How much do you want to bet?
Like, if it's written well and it comes out right, like, it could be great. It could be lots of stuff. Like when they came up with the concept of Winter Soldier, and we're like, hey, by the way, there's been this guy behind the scenes through all these years. All the biggest assassinations in the Marvel Universe were all perpetrated by this one guy. No one thought that would work, but then all of a sudden it's written really well, and you're like, wow, now Winter Soldier is amazing and awesome, and people
makes
love
sense.
Him.
Sure. What were you going to say, Adam? Do you remember?
I was going to say, what if they just came out and Bob Newhart-ed this whole thing and be like, oh, it was just a dream.
Oh, my God, you're so old. they could. Or they could be like, maybe he's, I don't know, they could do a lot. They could. It's interesting. And then they could just
double
be,
agent.
Yeah, they could be doing that. And then just to get people, you know, to get it in the news kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know. Okay.
Anything to sell some comic books.
Gotta sell the newspapers.
Right. You gotta sell the papers.
I'm
telling you, Bob Newhart, though, that's the way it's gonna end up.
I think they did that for General Hospital, too, didn't they? Or something, like entire season was a dream or something. I remember that being a big
thing. Like, holy shit, we're old, everything. Dude. Talking about Bob Newhart and fucking General Hospital.
Isn't that show still on?
I don't know.
I don't
know. Tell
your grandma back if it's still on.
My
is that the one that had Luke and Laura?
That one where I said like the evil dude, and I was like, remember when I was telling the story about like their super evil dude who's like, I totally raped this chick and now she loves me.
Oh yeah, the Watchmen.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Ryan, why don't you give us your thoughts on either A, Captain America being evil or gay, or B, talking about the movie that's coming out on Friday?
I actually kind of want to just. See, I don't know what's going on, and I always appreciate when the experts give a little bit of a historical refresher course. You know, like
so
the
Captain America or X-Men?
X-Men. X-Men.
Okay, so Poe Dameron's coming in from the middle of nowhere. What?
He's got to try and find out where Luke Skywalker's been hiding out for years. He's
totally got to find Luke. Wait a X-Men. Minute.
Oh. So you've chosen X-Men.
And I don't mind Captain America being gay or evil. Or both, for that matter.
Evilly gay.
Evilly gay. I can see how it could happen. Stark is a very attractive man who has lots of money, and you know, one thing leads to another, as they say. So, but like the movie, I want to hear about what's the story.
So you want the primer or something?
The primer. Give me the primer. What's the background that would help people that are going to see this movie enjoy it more by remembering what are the pieces that are coming together for this movie?
That's a good question. That's an excellent question. Who wants to start?
Okay.
Poe Dameron.
Stop saying that.
Poe Dameron.
Dameron. Sorry.
Okay. Apocalypse is effectively the first mutant ever.
Well, let's start with the two movies that have preceded this. Not overall, just a little bit about them. So this X-Men universe that we're watching movies in currently, there's only been three movies, is that correct? This is the third movie.
This is the third, yep.
Right. So the first movie was who was the main people in that?
That was X-Men First Class.
Right.
That's the one where we got to see Magneto basically be a badass, like mutant Nazi hunter.
That's right.
Going around and killing people. And
Xavier is young.
Young, yep.
1960s.
Yep, in the 60s. And you first see Mystique, and she's good, but she's kind of like she doesn't feel comfortable because being herself means people looking at her and not, you know, and seeing what she looks like as opposed to who she is.
Sure. And the whole thing cultivates at the Cuban Missile Crisis where Magneto is trying to basically start a war. And Xavier and the X-Men stop it. Is that pretty much the gist?
Nope. Magneto joins them to stop.
You're right.
Kevin Bacon's character.
Yeah, it's what's his fucking?
I can't remember his name.
It's he's from the Hellfire Club.
Is that a soccer team?
The Hellfire Club is basically like a club. It's been basically in the universe. Hellfire Club is a group that manipulates governments and all that stuff behind the scenes.
So they all team up to stop that.
Yes.
But there is some there's a rift between Magneto and Charles or Xavier already because of the way they see how things should be done.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. It is the classic Martin Luther King versus Malcolm X approach to dealing with like being hated.
Okay.
You can combat hate with trying to love everybody or explain how you feel, or you can just combat it by saying like, well, if you're going to fight us, we're going to fight you back twice as hard.
Right.
Okay. If you're going to fire missiles at me, I'm going to turn around and fire them back at you.
Yeah.
So that's the first movie. Second movie, that's one with Wolverine.
How does that one conclude? Is that just as a...
Oh, okay.
Does it conclude?
They stop the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yep. They stop the Missile Crisis. They're basically... Xavier is still can walk, and he's saying like, you know, hey, you know, you got to stop this. Shots get fired at Magneto, and he's like, and he throws up his hands, deflects them. Bullets go into Xavier, thus, you know, paralyzing him.
Right. Okay. And the second one, that's the Wolverine one. Am I getting that right?
That is Days of Future Past. So that is simultaneously taking place in, you know, like 25 years in the future with your old Magneto and Professor X, you know, Gandalf.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze. Gandalf and Patrick
Swayze. Roadhouse is there.
And
Patrick Stewart, Ian McKeon.
And they're basically trying to stop all the Sentinels. Sentinels are basically giant robots that are designed to be able to stop mutants, hunt them down, you know, figure out their weaknesses and... you know, capture them, kill them, depending on what, you know.
But not a lot takes part in that time period. That's like to show what happens when things go shitty and horribly wrong.
Right. The rest, normally it's set, most of it's set in the 70s with Bolivar Trask, Tyrion with his sweet mustache.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Basically saying like, hey, there's these guys, these mutants that are like, if we don't deal with them now, they're going to be a big problem in the future.
He's the father of the Sentinel program.
Yep. Yep, and the in the future they figure out, they say, okay, we got to send someone back. We got to send someone back in time to make sure that none of this stuff happens. So they send back Wolverine because their whole idea is you can't physically send someone back. So with Professor X, they send back his mind into a younger version of himself. So he remembers all the stuff that's going on because he was the only guy who was like alive through all this point
right,
in time.
Right, because of his regenerative properties and stuff. He's still young back then, and so that makes sense.
Yep, so he's basically trying to get Professor X, who's like, oh, I've given up on everybody because...
That's right. Beast is there, and he's like, I'm going to fight you. That was fun.
Right. And they had the government had captured Magneto at the end of the first movie and trapped and basically put him in a plastic prison underneath the Pentagon.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So they go and get Quicksilver, who I don't want to spoil it, but he has a relationship with Magneto.
He's talked about it. He didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's a father.
Yeah, well, I think they father actually talked about that. I think he said, "That's my dad."
Well, that's in the trailer for the next.
Yeah,
oh, well, then the fucking trailer ruined it for us.
Because he makes like just an offhand reference where he says, "Like that looks like the guy that my mom used to date."
Sure.
Like
and
that's
yeah. Okay, but that we're supposed to infer from that, and because we kind of know, and his other kid.
Is Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, if you want to get into like all that stuff.
That's kind of going to be nullified, I think.
Yes.
The other thing, so Beast and Mystique have a relationship. Don't they have a kid, and that kid is Nightcrawler?
No.
That hasn't been established. They didn't have a relationship in these films. That they try, but they have... They're at odds over who they are and who they pretend to be.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So this one, do they stop the Sentinel program at the end?
Yes, because they basically they were going to sign what's his face? Tricky Dick was going to sign off on starting up the Sentinel program. And Magneto was all like, boom, I got control of all your Sentinels. Cool. I'm going to just kill everybody. That's going to be cool. Mystique makes a choice, shoots him, boom, helmet falls off. Now Xavier can get control of him because of the helmet protects him from psychic attacks and stuff like that.
Right. Okay, I remember that. All right.
And then Nixon says, like, okay, cool. Like, not everyone, we definitely like humans. Like, there are good mutants and there are bad mutants, so we can't make just a blanket statement and get all mutants. We just can't do that.
Okay. So cool. That brings us to this new movie, X-Men Apocalypse.
Right.
Wait, wasn't there a movie? I'm confused because I remember a movie where like Mystique changes into the president.
That was the second one. Yep.
Yep. So that was the one we were just talking about.
Yep.
That's the one where they're back in the 70s and Xavier can walk. It's not Patrick Stewart.
No, it's McAvoy, James McAvoy.
Right. Because the president goes in the bunker and she takes his place or something like that. Yeah, I recall that. But
because it's the actual assassination that leads to the Sentinel program starting. So by stopping the assassination, the Sentinel program doesn't start. Timeline gets reset and Jean Grey is now alive.
Yeah.
Well, makes so sense. That assassination never happened and that changing into the president never happened then?
Changing the president still happened. The assassinated never took place. You know, because the assassination would have like cemented like mutants are bad. We need to stop them. By not having the assassination take place, it gave enough gray area where we were saying like we can't just blindly say that they're all bad.
Sure.
Right.
But it seems important that Mystique became the president.
she didn't stay the president.
She didn't stay the president.
Do we know that? I thought it ended at that point.
She gets up and
walks away.
She makes the choice to walk away from both Magneto and Charles.
Right. She's basically she was basically saying I am a strong, independent woman. No man shall control me.
Yes.
What was that movie that was a fake X-Men movie? I'm remembering when, like, there's like a fake X-Men movie and Mystique is in it. And she's like, "What you want a big booty?" And she's like, "She morphs her into it."
That's a porno, Ryan.
Yeah, it's called X-Men.
No.
Superhero or something. Superhero movie.
It was terrible. I remember that much.
So it was like one of those spoofs movies.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, see, sorry, that's the problem, is you're too busy watching those movies instead of good shows, you son of a bitch. Okay, right. So X-Men Apocalypse. And we don't need to give too much away, but we can just talk about the main characters and stuff, and because we don't know the plot, obviously. Well, we may know it, but yeah. Based on the trailers.
Well, yes, Apocalypse is the first mutant ever born. Mm-hmm. And so he's super powerful. And he's like one of those guys like who has, you name a power, he's got a power. You know, he's effectively immortal. He has control over all of his molecules in his body, so he can change size, change strength, change density, all that stuff.
Can't he take over other mutants' powers or take over other mutants?
He's got like telekinesis. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what they're going to take and what they're going to keep, because he has powers, but then he got augmented by like alien technology to make him super, like even more powerful. So, you know, he has super high technology. So, but they probably aren't going to do that, because they might add in like a sci-fi space element to it, like with aliens, but I just don't think they will.
Because he is from outer space, right?
No, he's from Earth.
No, he's the first mutant on Earth.
Yeah, born in Egypt.
Yep. And so we know from the trailers that he's using his four horsemen or whatever of the apocalypse. And so this will introduce Storm, who's going to be one of them.
Yep.
Who are the other ones?
Archangel.
Angel, guy with the giant angel wings, but then he bestows upon them basically like razor sharp metal wings. So he not only can fly, he can also throw feathers.
Metal shards.
Metal feathers out at you and like tear up stuff like that.
See, I understand why people get confused by this, because we had how many X-Men movies that don't count in this universe, and they had a lot of these characters, right? Angel is running around during the Mutant Registration Act in one of the X-Men, but that doesn't count as part of this universe.
In the third one, yeah.
Right.
It's a continuity thing where people, you either get it and go like, okay, that makes sense, because we're rewriting history, or why is this guy who we saw before here?
Well, I think people who are more likely, or people who in the past have read comic books or graphic novels, they're used to that, because change stories whenever you change new authors, basically. So,
And then you're going to have a Psylocke, which I tried to explain to Chris the other day, and it's freaking ridiculous, and I don't know how much they're going to use, where she's the sister of Captain Britain, which is effectively like kind of like the British Isles Avengers, but then she gets put into a coma, but she's got psychic powers, so she downloads her brain into like this Asian supermodel, and she can make psychic blades, like she can make this cool psychic purple blade, like really cool design, and she can like stab people with that. She's super, so she's kind of like a ninja.
So she's a psionic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Magneto joins them too.
Okay. And then we got to take what we have of the X-Men, the young X-Men, and try to fight that off.
Right. It will be the first time that they are like, I think they're going to call themselves the X-Men, because they never called themselves the X-Men.
That's
before.
True. Yeah. So that's it. That's the movie we're going to see at 9:20 on Friday.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is a long and ridiculous history with this.
Because he's been around.
He's been around a long time. And he's like always a really great behind the scenes kind of manipulator. It's like, there's no reason to fight. Why would I fight? I'm immortal. If I can't beat you, why would I just not outwait you?
I'll just wait you out, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really the way to go when you're immortal.
He's the dark side of the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
Well, there's also Thanos, but
yeah, like he's super powerful, but he's still Earth based.
Yeah,
he doesn't leave Earth.
He's not intergalactic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty fun. I like how that guy seems like a badass and is going to F shit up.
Oh, and the big thing is, okay, it's, his big motivation is he is a guy who believes the strong survive. Like, that is, like, you know, that is, like, the big thing where it's, like, that is all that really matters is, like, the strong survive. So if anyone is strong enough to, like, stand up to me, it's all like, hey, that's cool. Like, so, you know, the survival of the fittest is, like, you know, like, the biggest thing in his defining. And mutants are stronger than humans. Let's kill all the humans because we're stronger than
kill all humans. If you could rate him in a, on a power scale, so, like, Magneto is what, level 5 mutant?
He likes more scales.
He does like his scales.
Okay, keep going.
Is he probably the highest mutant, or is there going to be somebody that's higher?
Okay, now we get into some crazy stuff, right?
That's...
Okay, so there's this guy named Nathan Essex, which was born in, like, the 19th century, and he gets changed by Apocalypse to become Mr. Sinister. So in my head, this is where this is like going to be a teaser on the end of the movie. We're going to see something with Mr. Sinister because Mr. Sinister believes in, like, he is like the first eugenics guy where he's like, let's build, like, let's make mutants stronger. Let's breed people together to make them stronger and stronger.
Oh, yeah. So, he's the guy with the diamond on his forehead. Yep.
And he wants to breed Cyclops and Jean Grey together and then create a more powerful mutant, because eventually he just wants to get a guy who's more powerful than Apocalypse and take this guy out. But he will never directly confront Apocalypse because he's not as powerful as him. So via cloning and all this stuff, he creates Cable. And Cable gets infected by this techno-organic virus, which starts turning his flesh into, like, metal. And then there's time travel, where the guy gets sent to, like, you know, super far in the future, where they're able to keep the virus at bay. So then he's time travel, and they could connect that with the Deadpool movie, because they want Cable in the next Deadpool movie.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
It's all circular.
So they're, you know, it's like...
It's all going to come back around.
They are all mixing it all together, but that is to start connecting Deadpool to the X-Men universe, to all that stuff. They need Mr. Sinister. So that is my theory on what is going to happen in the post-credit scene.
Okay. That's cool. That's really cool.
Okay.
So what you're saying is technically there's nobody more powerful than Apocalypse, but they're trying to make somebody more powerful.
On Earth.
On Earth, yes. Because once you get into space and stuff, there are lots of people that are more powerful.
We don't count space. But
Apocalypse is like, it's hard to rate genius-level intellects.
Okay.
Where, yeah. And that's the big thing. It's like, Apocalypse, given planning, is really, really powerful. Because he's always surrounded by four super powerful people who can send out to do the things that he doesn't want to do.
Cool.
And if he gets defeated, he can just put himself into, like,
hibernation
sleep, and he'll be fine. He'll come back 1,000 years later, and we'll be fine.
In the 90s cartoon, they actually awake Apocalypse from his stasis. And that's,
right.
So, anyway.
All right, so if you haven't seen or you're confused by the movies, hopefully that helps a little bit, and then we can see you on Friday, and that'll be fun. Yeah. Okay. Who is the dude that they cast for the Han Solo film?
Oh,
Poe Dameron.
It's not Poe Dameron.
Not saying words.
Dameron.
You're the worst person in the world at words.
And if you really want to know, his name is Oscar Isaac. Is that right?
Yeah, Poe Dameron is Oscar Isaac, who is also playing Apocalypse.
That's what I keep on saying.
All right.
So who did they cast as the young Han Solo?
Alden Ehrenreich.
All right, and so, I'm going to pull a picture of him so I can compare it to... all right, whatever. I mean, I guess. His hair looks different, like a lot different. I guess they could change that, though, right?
Right.
What's he been in? Anything that I would know of?
Let's see, he is 26. No.
Oh, here we
no.
go. Oh, he was in Supernatural. one episode.
I don't remember him.
One episode.
Doesn't count.
Wendigo, that's the first episode.
I know.
Wendigo.
Okay, I don't know him from any of these movies. I don't think I saw a hell of most of them. Wow.
So they're just pulling out like another George Lucas and going no name actor.
Dude,
your mic sounds fucking.
You need to work on your fucking connection. All I see is your image like jumping around the screen. Like, now you look like a mutant. You got no details and it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he's he's not a no name actor, but he hasn't been in a lot. You're correct that way.
Yes.
Yeah, he hasn't been in actually much, has he?
No, he was in that movie, that Hail Caesar movie, which was like the Coen brothers' last one.
Never watched it.
I didn't see it. Like I said, if it's on HBO, I'll watch it. It's one of those movies where it's like, oh, super praise for his casting and his writing, but I don't know if anyone saw it.
Sometimes it's cool to have a guy that you're not familiar with as an actor. I like sometimes the best shows have – actually, a lot of the Star Wars stuff seems like that way. You know, you got random people doing stuff. I kind of like that. It's fresh.
Yes, but I have my ideas on this casting. Now that they've cast young Han Solo, right, this guy should also be cast as – Indiana Jones in the next Indiana Jones movie, they're gonna have to do it in a flashback. Oh. So then basically he just takes over all of Harrison Ford's old jobs. So then there is like the visual continuity that like we had when we were children. It's like, oh, Han Solo, Indiana Jones, same guy. Look at him.
Air Force One.
Yep.
Yeah, but his life is like completely different now, right? I mean, for the rest of his life, he can do conventions, he can do movies, and he's gonna be recognized everywhere. Yep. It's kind of interesting that there's like all of a sudden you're just one dude, you're an actor, and then all of a sudden you're young Han Solo, and your life is completely changed.
Yes, that is insane. Where it's like you're just a regular guy, you know. People might recognize you, but all of a sudden, you are action figures.
Well, they don't. When are they going to recognize you from Blue Jasmine?
No, I mean,
that was probably an awesome movie.
There's probably
maybe did like a shampoo commercial or some random like thing here or there. I remember you from that, you know, goofy thing you did on public television.
Might be one of those things where it's all like, "Hey man, you're kind of, you're cool. You're like a good looking dude. You should be a model or in movies or something." And he's like, "Oh,
yeah."
He's like, "Fuck you, man."
So is this going to be the hugest of Jackman's last film for Wolverine, or is he doing more?
He is doing Wolverine. Well, okay, he's going to be in this movie, like in Apocalypse. I'm not sure how long he's going to be in it, but I know he's going to be in it for. Because in one of the trailers, they go like, they show him popping claws. You know, not his full body, but they just show his arm popping claws. So I'm like, I know he's going to have a cameo in this movie, but he is making a third Wolverine movie.
Oh, he is.
Hinted as being the an old man Logan story arc.
Right.
Which
basically, this guy, the guy who wrote Kick-Ass and Mark Millar, is this like Scottish guy who writes these just really, who wrote Civil War, actually the original Civil War. Like, he wrote this thing called Old Man Logan, which takes place super far in the future. And like the country has been divided up by super villains and Wolverine is given a job to go cross country and deliver stuff. And, but he's also given up being like Wolverine. He's like totally about peace, totally about stuff. And he does it. But he has to pop his claws one more time to get into adventure. It's basically like the final Wolverine story.
Okay. How does he get old? I thought he regenerates quick enough where he doesn't really get that old.
Yeah, it's far in the future. It's far.
Oh. Oh, well, that'd be hard because he'd be like, what's the world look like 100 years from now?
Right. It's
flying like, cars.
Well, it's kind of post-apocalyptic because like the world, like the country has been divided into like, like the Hulks are all fucking Like, they own a huge part of the, like, the East Coast or the West Coast.
Multiple Hulks? What?
Yeah, dude, don't even get started.
Red Hulk, She-Hulk, A-Bomb.
Yeah, don't even get...
Scar.
Don't get it started on, like, how many Hulks there are, dude.
I think a Hulk could take over a portion of the country, though.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm willing to concede that.
But it's far enough in the future, too, like, all the Hulks are, like, they're all inbred now. Because, like, Hulks can only breed with other Hulks because their bodies aren't strong enough to hold a baby to term and shit like that. They basically would tear a human woman to pieces. So,
okay.
They're all super inbred and super hickish. And then, like, the Venom symbiote, like, the black suit is, like, possessed, like dinosaurs from, like, the Savage Land have gotten up here and stuff like that. So it's basically all the craziest things that you could think would possibly happen have happened. But
okay,
the X-Men, the Fox doesn't own the rights to all that stuff,
right?
So like how they're going to change it is going to be really interesting.
We'll see. I wasn't X-Men Origins was terrible, or was it Origins, yeah, or the first one,
Wolverine,
whatever.
Yeah, Origins, oh, Wolverine. That was,
yeah,
terrible.
Oh, not X-Men, yeah, Wolverine. God, that put a sour taste in my mouth. And that's another thing, all the X-Men or Wolverines are those all currently in the same universe?
Unknown.
Except for the ones, of course, where he goes back in time and helps the X-Men. But he's right in every single movie.
See,
I completely understand why Ryan's confused by these universes. I really do.
Unknown. And that's okay. The whole thing. It's like somebody has done the work and said, like, well, this takes place in continuity and this doesn't and this doesn't. And if you watch them in this order, this is the order of the timeline where it's like 1, 2, 3, back to this one because this one happened before that. So someone's put the proper watching order, so everything goes on a timeline, but the timeline then overwrites itself. So someone's done it.
You got a graphic novel for us to read yet, or should we put this off till next week?
Yeah, I got like a lot. So
not that you own, something that you suggest that we think that you think that we would be good if we read and talked about. Or do you want to take that and set it up next week?
I think Kingdom Come would be really good. It is, I
don't know that one.
It is basically, it takes place, it's in the DC universe. It takes place.
Is it CUM or COME?
COME.
It's not a porn.
No, it's not a porn. Ryan, I'm sorry. it takes place in the future. Superman is effectively retired. There is all the superheroes, Wonder Woman, all these people have kind of taken a backseat because.
Don't tell me too much. Remember,
yes,
effectively retired mean? Is it like Clark Kent like goes to the Daily Planet, but
well,
just
Superman
like sits
Superman,
there?
Superman
and he's like,
ages
you're paying me, but
Superman ages at a normal rate.
Oh, okay.
So now he's like 65. So he's retired. But he's still Superman.
Sure.
So he still has tons of powers. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. So do we want to give that a shot? What say you, group?
It's a complete story, so you don't have to like know anything. If you know things outside, it makes you get... It's like watching Civil War. The more you know, that makes it more interesting, but you don't have to know everything.
So the title is The Greatest Superhero Epic of Tomorrow, Kingdom Come?
Yes. That's what I think would be an interesting starting point.
I see. Kingdom Come 20th Anniversary Deluxe Edition. Does that work?
Yeah. It's.
There's a cheaper version. There's a paperback version that's a hardcover.
Man, I don't want no paperback. I'll fucking get this. I'll have to... Is this something I really want to know if people want to do this? I think it'd be fun, but I understand if people are like, man, right. I got 22 hours a day. I can't fucking put a chapter of a comic book in.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you just want to read a chapter?
A chapter a week. I mean,
it's effectively four issues.
Oh, put together. Well, there you go. So, I mean, how many pages is it? Looks like, I don't know.
I couldn't tell you how many pages it is.
I'm looking at this fucking thing. It doesn't tell me. Why doesn't it tell? Should usually says how many pages it is. But no, we could read it over the next 2 weeks. Read like half of it, read two issues, and then read the next half, and then just talk about it. I think it'd be fun.
Think of it like homework.
But I'm not really going to go through the. I'm not going to go through the trouble of ordering it and sending one to my house and sending one to Ryan's house if we're not going to do it. I think it would be fun though.
It's 232 pages.
Right. Okay, so we probably have to cut it into four because Ryan's not going to get through 50 pages, even on the shitter. Remember,
there's not a lot. By each issue. It is a comic, I know, so it's like there isn't a million lines of dialogue like a book. So Ryan should be able to read it pretty fast.
Yeah, but remember, 22 hours a day, not much time. Got to fit Game of Thrones in there. There's so much.
True.
I'd
give it a shot though.
I think people would like it.
Okay, let's give it a shot then. Maybe we'll read the first issue. We'll read an issue a week or something and talk about what happens into that. If you want to partake and join us, and it's Kingdom Come is the name of it. Was it Mark Wade and Alex Ross? Is that who it is?
Yep.
Okay, and we'll read the first part this week, and we'll talk about it next week, and it'll be kind of an ongoing thing, and we'll see what we think about it. It'll be interesting because it's a foray into graphic novels that I've only done when Dave tells me something's good and I read that.
Cool. This will be exciting. I'd like to see Ryan's, how Ryan feels about it. Because there might be, what if there's humor on the page?
I will not appreciate it. That doesn't translate. Yeah.
Like, I don't know about this. I look at it, it's got cool pictures, so that's...
Yeah, it's all painted. The artwork is all painted. So.
Oh, that's kind of neat. Okay. Anybody got anything else, or should we move into Game of Thrones?
Well, Ryan, are you ready to go?
are you ready to say goodbye, Ryan?
I can, for the sake of Game of Thrones discussion.
Unless you want to do it like every other week, which is fine with me. We could just, because every other week worked fine, where we just doubled up on it.
Yeah, we just have to not try to spoil more stuff for Ryan whenever we can.
If maybe I'll get a couple minutes in, you know. So you got about half hour of watching time.
How can you only watch a half hour of an episode?
Yeah, can't you just finish it? It's only, what, another 20, 30 minutes, 20 minutes?
I go to sleep, too. 22 hours, man.
Look at his eyes. He's a little sleepy there.
Dude, Ryan, are you on the marijuana? Your eyes are passing.
He's ready to fall asleep as we speak.
It's the lighting in the room. I'm pretty tired. I don't know why.
Okay.
All right. So if we want to, do we want to talk about it? Because I have no problem with it. Or do we want to double up?
Well, let's ask Ryan. You got something to talk about? Or should we move
I don't have another topic, so I wouldn't want to hold you back. So I'll log off.
You only bring us forward. You never hold us back.
That's right. Your leadership and delegation skills are second to none.
Off the charts, I tell you.
While I'm gone, I'll put Chris in charge. and we'll talk to you later.
I humbly accept it.
All right, later, dudes.
All right, later.
All right, that fucker is gone.
I heard that. I haven't left
yet. Oh, shit. No, all right. Okay.
Right, bye.
There. Now that fucker is gone. okay, so we're holding doors, apparently.
Right.
My first question is, did they have in mind his name, Hodor, when they introduced his character long ago?
Yes. Yeah, yes. George R. R. Martin said that. And some guy, figured it out from an interview, 3 years ago.
So
this was actually a Martin, one of three things that he passed on to the producers 2 years ago. He gave him the origin story of Hodor's name, and this was it.
Because, I guess he wanted to be when George R. R. Martin, when he was really young, went to one of those super fancy hotels, and there was the guys who would run the elevator would be like, "Vert, hold the door," and that stuck in his brain, that was part of his DNA from that point on, and that was interesting to me.
Although it does create a temporal paradox, which we haven't seen in the Game of Thrones series yet. So.
I know, and that's that is where I start okay, can you go back in time and could you just warg into him because he was kind of a simpleton? Or can you actually warg into people that are of sound mind?
Yeah, I don't know. He seemed, because he seemed a fine young fellow as he was as he was raised.
And then he had his Strizok and only talked about holding doors.
He had his Strizok because of something that happens in the future. that right. make something in the past happen, but had to only be was only available because of something that was done in the future.
Mind blown.
Well, no, right. it's just those temporal paradoxes that are fun.
Right. So, big reveals. The children of the forest, created the White Walkers to fight the humans.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. I don't remember them being such a big deal in the books, but they were cool because they could throw acorns. And Amy was like, they should make more of those. Like, I agree. You should have been making a shitload of acorns.
They should have had more than five in a pile.
Well, the thing is, I don't think they were prepared for what came because
well,
they were protected. Because
Bran screwed it up.
Right.
Yeah, and they came really quick. It was like, he's going to come for you. And like 5 seconds later, he's here.
Like, right. We don't know what the extent of his powers are, his teleportation powers.
Well, he apparently can fucking see into the whatever the fuck he was doing to walk around anyways, right? So yeah, he's in a, we'll call it the ethereal.
Right, yep.
Which also extends across time things. And yep. apparently this guy can see him and touch him as well.
Right, so he has true seeing. He must be a creature of force, because a force creature can affect the ethereal plane. Force damage can go across into the ethereal plane.
So have they showed the children of the woods ladies or whatever, have they showed them using the oak and looking through past and stuff? I don't think they have they?
No.
Not that I know of.
I think the three-eyed raven is like, because he's been around for a really long time. It's like, he seems like he was a human at one point in time. He seems humanoid. He doesn't look like a crazy, you know, one of them. So I wonder if he just gets chosen by the, you know, by them.
To... Hey, what did he mean when he's like, it's time for you to become me?
Like, I think he's going to replace him.
He's the supreme druid.
One, like, he's a level 13 druid.
Level 13 druid.
He's the highest level druid, and you got to fight each other to be right. able to take over.
Well, he had a good plan then. He's like, I'm going to bring some motherfuckers here who will kill him, and then I'll take him.
Right. So,
but he's obviously not taking over there, because that's a compromised spot. Right. So.
Yep. Yeah. So I don't know where he's going to take over. Like, he's just going to be on the run. I do like the fact that he was trying to download all of his knowledge into him as fast as he's just like, go, no! And his eyes rolled back, and he's just like, download powers!
Yeah, and I mean, from a story perspective, I understand that they could probably get away next episode, but from a realistic perspective, there's a lot of fuckers chasing them, and Hodor can only hold that fucking door for so long, and she's carrying a sled.
Right.
Well, and does Hodor come back as a zombie?
Oh, Hodor.
Zombie Hodor.
Oh. Like, something's going to happen, and like all of a sudden, like boom, he's going to be there, and they're going to be like, Hodor, and he's going to be like, it was like, and
maybe he'll actually
cut like, again.
He'll be like, my name is Willis.
Yeah, maybe they'll turn him into one of the actual White Walkers, so he has a cunning intellect.
I know you said that he is most certainly dead, but since it is a new chapter in the book, or the new series, they haven't written this yet. Do you think he still has potential to be alive and get away? Or
Hodor? Absolutely not. Yeah.
You don't think
basically
so?
Basically, he was effectively like a defense item. Like, that was created.
Pulling him apart.
Yeah.
In the scene.
I think there's about as much chance as him being alive as there is for Ryan to be caught up next week. So, right. Is there a chance? Yes. Is it going to happen? Probably not.
Slim to none.
I mean, it sucks because he's a fun character, and that's what we do in this show is we kill fun characters.
I like the Sansa Littlefinger meeting again.
That was good. That motherfucker's a pimp. Oh, my God. He's a pimp.
Do you know what he did to me? No. Do you know what he did to me? Do you know?
He's a pimp. He knows how to talk to everybody. He knows how to figure out situations and get the best out of it, because he's a fucking pimp. I'm sorry.
And then he's like, well, you know, your uncle's got an army, and I'm just going to subtly walk away now.
Right.
Here's the information you need to know.
Right. Everything that's happened in the whole show has been his doing. Like, John Arryn, like the guy who died, was the original Hand of the King to Robert Baratheon. Like, he got killed because his wife, Lysa, Catelyn Stark's sister, poisoned him because she was infatuated in love with, you know, Littlefinger. So that happened because of him. Everything that has happened through the whole show and all that stuff is all because of his doing. He's manipulated everything. That is high level pimpitude right there.
Man. It's true. It's ridiculous. It's pretty awesome. He's like the puppet master, and it's not just that he's behind the scenes, but when he's in the scene, he can figure out what's happening and bend it best to his will. Yep.
And the fact that she totally lied to her brother, like John Sansa lied.
It would have been easier if she would have just been like, I lied because there was others around who I don't trust.
Trust. Yeah.
And that would have been fine too.
Yep.
But whatever. And who is the Blackfish that they're talking about? Is that one of the dudes from House Tully that I'm not aware of?
Remember,
that was Caitlin's brother.
Caitlin's brother. Remember the scene? I can't remember which it was in when her younger brother was shooting they put her father out on the raft and all the sticks, and he was trying to shoot arrows, flaming arrows into it. And his youngest brother was like, phew, and it was like miss, and he's like, give me that, and he's like,
phew. I do remember that, and I don't recall from the books or anything. Is he? They talked about him being. A considerable asset, and I wasn't exactly sure why.
He's one of those guys that is good at a lot of stuff, but he's bad at the politics of the world. Yeah.
And he has an army under him, or what?
He's leading the River Valley Army.
Okay. So he would be in charge of Riverrun's army.
Yep.
Since the douchebag would not be in charge because he's a little douchebag.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so...
What else happened last episode?
They decided that they were going to go and unite the clans, all the smaller clans that were like... They're not the big clans of the North. They're all the small ones. So they're like, if we get all the small ones together, we'll be able to take on the three big ones. We'll take on the Boltons, we'll take on the Karstarks, and we'll take on the Umbers.
And I'm thinking at least one will probably change sides when they see that there's a Stark alive and that they have a shot at winning. So
yes,
not all of them, probably just one. I don't know. I think
probably the Karstarks.
I think those the interactions between the leaders of those clans and douchebag McGee and Winterfell is some of the most fun in the show. It's like, you killed your dad. We all know you fucking killed your dad.
Right?
No, I didn't.
Oh no, he was poisoned.
Poisoned, totally poisoned. No.
Right.
The scene with Aya Stark and her training,
right?
It's pretty badass. Because the other chick in there, they were doing the combat training with the quarterstaffs.
Yes,
that was an awesome scene.
And he was basically saying like, "Hey, I need you to go kill this lady." And then she went out and like, okay, I'll go. That's totally fine. I can go kill this lady. And they were basically doing a play of the first season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and that was a good what's completely slanted towards the view of the of King's Landing people. Yep, so that's pretty awesome.
Yep. I just like Ned Stark was like, I'm so dumb. What's going on?
Why does everybody hate me?
Right.
I thought she played that well. That scene well.
Right. And then everyone's laughing, and she's just like, ah. And so you know, I don't know how it's going to happen, but it'll be a badass scene where she gets all the powers of the Faceless Men, can use the masks, and use all the poison, gets all the training, but she still gets to remain Arya Stark in her mind.
I think that's where it's going as well.
Yeah, so she could be, I got all your powers, and I can do this. So she might be the only one that is somebody. Because I could see that happening, where she's all like, you know... She's like, I'm no one. And all of a sudden, you know, like, she, you know, it's like, no, I'm Arya Stark of House Stark, you know, who've been here for 8,000 years, you know, ruled from Winterfell and stuff like that, and tells you all this cool stuff, yet she still has all the powers.
Yep. And so last time we didn't see anything in King's Landing. That's coming up next episode. That's going to be the big to-do between
Marjorie.
Free Marjorie from the agents of douchebaggery who are religious and need to all die.
The faith militant.
Douchebag militant. And the army, basically her fucking, not her army, but her family's army.
Yep.
With something also happening between the Lannisters, so.
Oh, God. It's just going to be... Slaughters. It's got to be Slaughters on those steps.
We can hope so.
How many people are going to die?
Just slaughter all of them. I want that motherfucker, that old dude who's like, oh, yes, I come from nothing and I wear shoes and I don't wear shoes.
The High Septon.
I live for the people. And like, live this. And they just jab a spear down his throat. I'd be happy with that.
Right. Like, I could see, like, Cersei getting up in his face and he's just all like, you know, I'm sad and all this. I'm sorry, you know, like, bring me to trial before, and then, like, getting just ripped in half. John Strong style, like,
that would be good. Yes, because they do have an undead abomination at their disposal.
Right.
As well.
Wearing fucking gold That's armor. True. That's fucking pimp.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, it's like, we talked about it, me and the wife were talking about it. It's like, they are definitely like, unlike the books where there's like, oh, here's the 10 main characters and the 40 side characters. If you're a side character for too long in the show, they're just like, all right, let's cut off. Let's like lean this out. This, like, oh, you, let's have you come back for a minute and get stabbed and have you get, come back and get killed.
Yeah.
There is no there's no chaff of.
Would you be surprised if they killed off this season? That's a question for everybody.
Ooh.
Like, name one character you think is safe this entire season.
Theon Greyjoy. I think he's got to be safe.
You think so, huh?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that, where they, like, stole all the ships and they're like, see ya.
Right.
You won't make me king? All right, we're leaving.
I did like that his uncle was all like, I played the fucking iron prize bitch for this crown, man. Fucking took it. I threw my brother off a fucking thing. What are you going to do about it? Nothing.
That was me.
You're going to do nothing about it because I am by far the best. I'm going to go over to fucking, I'm going to go over there to the fucking dragon queen. I'm going to make her, you know, she's going to take my cock. I'm going to take her dragons. They're going to come back with me, and we're going to fucking conquer all this whole land.
Yeah, I don't think he knows her very well. Right. I think it's more likely that she just kills him, takes the ships, and then they go back and conquer the land.
Right. Mm-hmm. Man, yeah. The King's Moot was cool, man. It's like, I just like the fact that they elected kings are kind of cool. And elected kings are kind of cool, and the fact that they go like, we're going to put you in front of our god. We're going to drown you. If you come back, then you're rightfully king. If you don't, I guess we're going to pick the next guy.
Who's next?
The whole time I was thinking, you know, when people drown like that, they get pneumonia immediately afterwards.
Well,
hey, you want to know something? They're ironborn. They're probably used to being fucking cold and wet all the time.
It's probably true. So I think Tyrion's safe. I don't think he's going anywhere this season.
I think Daenerys is safe.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think Jon Snow... I thought it would be funny. We talked about
That'd
it.
Be fun for John
we thought it was like him dead, and then he comes back, and then like later on, like the next episode, he gets killed again, and then they're just like, "Sorry, guys."
Well, yeah. The thing is, now they're kind of in an interesting situation because you don't need both fucking
Sansa Stark and
Jon Snow. I mean, technically, they're both fun characters, but you don't need them both. Either one of them could go. And I like the characters. I don't want to see them go anywhere, but they definitely could.
Well, but Jon has no political standing, and Sansa's got all the politics.
He will.
He will, but...
Well, see, but... Sansa will be, like, warden of the North, and Jon is going to be fucking king.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
He's going to marry Daenerys. They're going to hook up. Fire and ice.
Right, okay. And sorry, I think it's... Be like, I'm saying, you know, if you go by the theories that, you know, he's got Targaryen blood in him, that
would work as far as the inbreeding goes.
Right, yeah, exactly. It would totally work with the inbreeding.
Now they're like, oh, we can inbreed. Yay!
Right.
Wait, you are my brother? Let's do it.
Well, because it would be, because that was her brother, Rhaegar, and then so sister. Yeah, so that would be brother. His aunt.
Yeah,
she would be Jon Snow's aunt.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so you're still one, you know, one. You're still separated by one generation, and
you're
then like
fine. What could happen?
They're legal consenting age. It's all good.
Right.
Cool. Okay. Anything else happened that I should be made aware of that I can remember that I don't recall?
Yeah, we didn't get a lot of Daenerys. Basically, she sent Jorah off because he's got.
That was a pimp scene. He's like, I order you to get better.
Right.
You don't walk away from
that. That is a guy I don't. I could see him dying, like the last episode 9, episode 10, like him coming back and it being really bad, and he giving up and saying like, I'm, you know, like I've tried my best, and him dying and she totally forgiving him.
See, I think it would be pretty sweet if he gets cured, he finds a cure somehow, he comes back, and he's there, or he doesn't even make it. He's within view of her, and then he dies somehow. That's the kind of show I'm
arrow
watching.
To the back.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. He's, I mean, he's a fun character, but he's not necessary anymore.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Good talk. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I think we're going to call it a wrap there. Go out, purchase yourself a copy of Kingdom Come. Use Amazon Prime. It comes in 2 days. Free shipping. Good shit. Send us an email, geeksnextdoorftw@gmail.com, because we like hearing from you. And then maybe we can kind of go through this graphic novel together a little bit at a time. I think you said it's 4 stories. Is that right? So we'll go ahead and read the first one or 4
issues.
Yeah,
it's like 4 issues. Yeah, 4
okay,
chapters.
So we'll read the first one this week. Bets on if Ryan does. Let's put it at a percentage. Put it at a percentage that he actually finishes the first one.
I don't think he's even ordered it yet.
Well, of course not. We just talked about it.
Of course not. I have mine ordered. It's on the way right now.
Yeah.
I'll give him 5%.
Ooh, okay.
Like, okay. I'm going to keep reminding him. Like, I'll remind him, like, Friday. Then I'll remind him, like, Monday and Tuesday and be like, hey, guy, dude, you got to read this. And I think he will come and he will show up and say, like, okay, I'm 12 pages in. I got about 20 more pages if you guys could hold on a little bit. I think he's going to do it.
That's a good thing. I think he's actually, I'm about 70%. I think that I'm going to keep reminding him, and I think that if he has enough bathroom time, he'll be okay.
Right.
Because in the bathroom, you can read shit.
Right.
Here's another question. How many comic books do you think Ryan has actually read?
I've given him some.
Have you given him some?
Five, yeah. But still.
I gave him
Walking Dead for a while.
Yeah, I gave him 300. I gave him Ant-Man. I've given him a decent amount.
Okay.
Like, right, I wouldn't say a lot, but I've given him, you know, 3 graphic novels and then a bunch of issues and stuff. So he's
a pretty smart guy. He'll figure it out. So
right.
Okay. We're taking off. Have a good week. Join us for our Kingdom Come fiasco. I'm going to call it fiasco. Send us some mail because we like reading mail, and share this with people who you might think like it. That's it. Take care. Have a week.
All right. Later.
Let's go. Later.